Hey, Rowdies fans, it's Charlie Dennis.
This is Forrest Lasso.
You're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Is there one final touch to be had? Aaron Guillen, Lasso, elevating,
yeah!
And Musana
Rowdy's family, and welcome to the Unused Substitute Soccer Show, where we spread the green and gold gospel about the Tampa Bay Rowdies. My name is Matthew Cox, and I'm joined tonight by my co-host Ben Wilcox, and in a short while by our friend Kaylor Hodges from Birmingham, to talk about this weekend's upcoming Eastern Conference quarterfinal between the Rowdies and the Birmingham Legion. But first, Ben and I are going to go over the Rowdies season finale win over Louisville. Take a look at the final playoff field, some league and team news and all that kind of good stuff, and then we'll get to the preview. Ben, how are you doing? How's it going? How you been?
I'm doing, honestly, doing great. I got a nice little move
you're
at work.
Great. You're flying to Vegas on Friday.
Well, I mean, there's lots of, you know, minus some things, this has been a pretty great week. I made my move over to the other side of IT at work, which is a positive move for me, so I'm really excited about that. Yes, I'm going to Vegas, so I'm checking out for about 4 days and going to be hanging with some buddies and having a good time, and I'm looking forward to that.
Basically, it's the Hangover like live version, right? You're just doing the movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Although, look, let's be honest. This isn't like Vegas in my 20s. This is Vegas in my 40s. I'll be lucky if I make it to 9:30. All right? I just bought a pair of Bombas sandals, all right? I plan to fly in them. Could I be any more 42-year-old than I am right now? I already told all the guys, I was like, don't be surprised if I wear these bad boys on the plane. Like, I'm in full bad mode.
Instead of hangover, it's just hang older.
Exactly. Hang lower.
Yeah. Well. So I'm thinking I don't know everybody involved in the excursion, but I'm pretty sure you're the Zach Galifianakis character.
That's valid. That's probably very true.
Like Dan's obviously what's his face? I can't think of the actor's name because he's the groom to be. You're Galifianakis, and then who's the Bradley Cooper in this group?
Ooh, well, I mean, there's only two other guys, and it's his buddy Gareth. And there's Kopke, so.
Oh, Kopke's got to, no, because Kopke's a teacher, so he's got to be the Bradley Cooper.
Okay,
and,
that's fair.
And Gareth is the dentist, I guess, in this situation.
That makes sense. He's probably the most successful. Man.
He ends up with Heather Graham. That's a pretty good situation for him, man. Way to go. Nice. Nice. Congratulations, Gareth. All right, I like that. All right, I guess we should talk about soccer. It's kind of what we're supposed to do, and the one thing we avoid doing most of the time. Rowdies, man, we talked a lot about what this game could be, what this game should be. They literally did what we said they should do,
yep,
and they did it on steroids because we said early goal, J.J. Williams with the fastest goal in Rowdies history, 27 seconds in. It even got a shout-out on one of my favorite soccer Twitter accounts when playing it out of the back goes wrong. Game ends up getting equalized on a Freddie Kleeman own goal. There's a penalty awarded that is unsuccessful. And then all of a sudden, Cal Jennings does Cal Jennings things, scores two goals in 2 minutes. It's 3-1 at the half. It's 3-1 the majority of the second half. Cameron Lancaster adds a stoppage time goal to make it a little squeaky bum, but never really felt like Louisville was in this, even though they had way more to gain from a result than the Rowdies did. The Rowdies triumphed 3-2, sweeping Louisville on the season, keeping Louisville out of the home playoff spots, out of the top four in the East. Ben, what's your take? I mean, it's literally what we said they should do. I don't know how else to break this game down. I realized all of a sudden Cal Jennings has two goals and it's not even halftime, and I'm like, crap, I'm gonna have to make good on this getting a Rowdy's tattoo bet. Like, this is gonna be my version of Dan getting the ink because of Seba. Yeah. And like, hey, I was happy to do it if it happened, but when he gets subbed off later, or you know, when the game ends later, it's like, oh, safe again for now.
For now, yeah. No,
honestly, like, when he scored two, I said that's it. It's going to happen. Like, he's going to get to 20. He finishes one goal shy of 20. But I feel pretty good after watching him for about 30 minutes in a training session and saying this is a 20 goal season score. He ends up with 19. I'm taking the win on that one for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like you said, like, everything we predicted, the team that was going to make right what they did wrong against Pittsburgh was going to take it out on Louisville. And they did exactly that. They got on them early. They high pressed, they turned the ball over. They broke lines. They defended well as a unit. Well, yes, Louisville had a majority. Was it like 63-37? So, I mean, possession. I mean, but it didn't feel like they had it, though. I mean, it just I never felt like we were not in control of this game, even though they had.
If you look at the stats on this, like, we Pittsburghed them, 37% possession to 63 for Louisville, 335 passes for Tampa Bay. As opposed to 539 for Louisville, only 71% pass accuracy, four yellow cards, gets a little chippy in there for a while, but you get that lead that early and you force them to play and they don't get the results. Like, you know, we had all the goals in the game until the second minute of second half stoppage time. we're all results of the Rowdies. So, you know, there's really not a lot you can say from this.
No, I mean, look, Leo got on the field.
It looked good. Thank you, Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Yes, thank you. Like, we actually know what we're talking about. We do show prep, people. This is why we know what we're talking about. No, I mean, look, we got Leo Fernandez get on the field, got some good minutes, had some dangerous runs, had some good plays. Yep. It was good to see him get out there and do what he did. I was wrong. I thought he was going to get the start, but that's okay. I mean, he came out, he was healthy, he looked good, and we need him to be gelling well because I very much think he's the starter in the playoffs. I think he has to be. I think, and that's nothing against the Cava. I just think if you've got a healthy Leo who's breaking lines and doing what he can do against this Birmingham team, I think you got to give Leo the go. So it was good to see him get out there. I mean, the attack was great. I mean, Connor turning that ball over to get to JJ, who fed the ball first touch onto Cal for his second goal. I mean, just that was so beautiful. I mean, just such a goal.
Of the Jedi brain. That second one where he puts it off the leg and it deflects in, it's just, he used the force. Used the force to score that goal.
Yep. And I have every reason to believe that we're going to see more of this. This is the team that is going to be, I don't think we get the Pittsburgh version of this team. I think we get this version of the team. I think this is who we thought we were getting. And this was just them after one or two games playing together with this unit. So,
and we're going to add Leo Fernandez to that, the reigning league MVP.
Yeah. Well, what's great is,
fresh and having played like, you know, 20 minutes this season, whatever it was, he ended up getting in the second half.
Good. He looks happy, healthy. The guys were working well with him. I mean, thank you. We got that healthy.
And look, a game changer in the playoffs.
Exactly. And what's nice is now, Nicky Law has options coming off the bench that can be equally dangerous in different ways, but offer you different ways to attack.
Yeah.
And you've got your two top goal scorers looking absolutely ruthless and gelled, just absolutely in sync with one another, the way you need them to be. I mean, the way Cal and JJ have just formed this partnership, it is so much fun to watch. When they are on, like they were in this game, they are just absolutely electric to watch. So, yeah, man, I mean, there's not a whole lot to add here. It was a good game. It was what we hoped it would be. They did exactly what we needed them to do. you know, and I don't think Louisville gave us anything. I think we just played that good. And that's, we've talked about it. When we play our game, I don't fear anybody. I don't care what the results say against the top five teams. I don't care who we've lost to in the top five, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. When this team plays like this, we are competitive with anybody.
I mean, it's all over. I mean, it's a brand new, you wipe the slate clean, you start over at this point. You got to the playoffs, you got to, well, and we'll talk about, you know, positioning and everything else. And yeah, it's time to do it or not. And we're going to see what happens. Man of the match has to be obvious. He's a factor in all the goals for the Rowdies, scoring two of them, assisting on the other. It's Cal Jennings. He was player of the week for the third time this season to go along with his recently won player of the month award. He's got to be in the running, in the discussion for league MVP. I'm going to go through some stats on some guys in a second, but fantastic season for the newcomer to the Bay Area. All right. Our playoff situation, the playoff bracket is set. We've got on one end, number one seed Pittsburgh hosting the really only drama left on the final weekend was who was going to claim that eighth spot. It is Detroit. Detroit manages to get a draw with Pittsburgh, which gives them just what they need to get in when Miami travels to Sacramento and loses. So Miami's eliminated. Tulsa's eliminated. Detroit gets that first playoff, that eighth playoff spot, and likely will be the first team eliminated as they travel to Pittsburgh in a rematch of last week's game. Number four, Memphis is going to host number five, Louisville. That could have flipped the other way around based if Louisville had gotten the result, but they didn't. Number three, Charleston will host number six in the 11, and the Tampa Bay Rowdies in second in the Eastern Conference, third in the entire USL, are going to host for yet another, it feels like this is a broken record, the Rowdies and Birmingham Legion in the playoffs. If the Rowdies get past Birmingham, they will face the winner. They will host the winner of Charleston and Indianapolis at Al Lang on the 28th. And then it would be, you know, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Memphis, Louisville in the Eastern Conference final. The USL final, they usually announce like a range that it could be on. They have announced the date and time. It will be on Sunday, November 12th at 9 p.m. Eastern. This is all setting up perfect for the Rowdies to get there the day after Dan's wedding, so that we can continue the celebrations that whole weekend before they fly out on Monday for the honeymoon. I guess we can talk about the Western Conference too for whatever. Sure. Number one seed Sacramento, second overall seed in USL. Sacramento is hosting number eight New Mexico. San Antonio in fourth, hosting Colorado Springs in fifth. San Diego Loyal will play their last home game. Almost certainly their last home game this weekend, hosting Phoenix in the opening round of the playoffs, and second place Orange County hosting seventh place El Paso. In terms of overall hosting rights for the USL Cup final, Pittsburgh is the top seed in the entire league, having won the Player Shield. Sacramento would be second, and then the Rowdies would be the third option on the list. So if the Rowdies can get there and it's anybody besides Sacramento facing them off, then it would be at Al Lang for what should be the third time, but second thanks to COVID. I went through some stats once the final game ended, and especially kind of focusing on a lot of the new players that were brought in this year by Neil Collins and his group before they left for England. Cal Jennings, second overall in the Golden Boot, 19 goals. Career high for Cal Jennings. Connor Sparrow, 10th overall in saves, tied for fifth place in clean sheets. J.J. Williams, tied for third in assists and sixth place in the league overall in shots. He also contributed 12 goals, a career high for him as well. Charlie Dennis, third in chances created with 11 goals. And then, again, this is only his second season at the championship level. He's played in League One beforehand. This is a career high. He had 3 goals last year for Oakland and 9 the year before for FC Tucson. So he basically equaled his almost equaled his career total as a professional in one season in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay Rowdies overall third in the league in goals scored with 60, tied for 18th, which is good, in goals conceded at only 39, and overall fifth in passing accuracy at 82%. Ben, we've gotten to the end of the season. We've gotten to the playoffs. It's a clean slate, but, you know, it's nice to look back at some of these guys and what they're able to do and you know, seeing them pay off the confidence that was put into them by Neil Collins and the staff bringing them in here. What's your thoughts overall on just how the Rowdies have concluded this season?
I think as a whole, I mean, if you look at the final numbers, you have to be happy with this team. I mean, we had a rough patches. We had a really slow start. We had a number of injuries, and yet here we are in the number 2-3 overall in the USL Championship with how many first-year players? I mean, if you had sat there until the beginning of the season, we'd have all these things going on, we'd still finish in the position we're in, I'd say, no way. No way. I mean, I always think we're going to be competitive, but man, we had everything stacked against us and yet somehow found a way to be put ourselves in a position to host in the playoffs, to bolster up some much needed positions, some by choice, some by force, and to allow these new signings like the Cal Jennings and Charlie Dennis and JJ Williams, these guys to come in and not only do well, but excel and thrive in their new roles with this team under two different coaches. However, they may be similar as far as coaching styles. They have come into a new team, and they have shown exactly why we went out and got them. And I'm excited for this playoffs, man. Like you said, it's a clean slate. I don't care what the record was against the top five. I don't care. I don't care. We've got, with Leo coming back, that not only changes what we're able to do off the bench, it changes what we can do on the field for the starting 40, 75 minutes of any game. And we can be dangerous from so many different directions. I mean, one of the things I love about this team is while, I have to be semi-critical before I can compliment, is while the defense had their moments of weaknesses, when they are on, they were on fire. They look absolutely unbeatable at times. And I mean, you've got to take your hats off to that back four. As far as the attack is concerned, you know, one of the complaints we've had in the past is we've been very one-dimensional. We used to be just attack off the wing. We could never get goals off set pieces. We could never get goals by building through the middle. Well, we did all of those this year. Maybe not as much as we wanted to, but man, we scored goals from every single place on the field. And we did it consistently. We did it, you know, we did it with different players. I mean, this might be the most talented team that I think we've seen in quite a while. And I'm excited, man. I'm super excited for this playoffs. I absolutely believe that if the team that played in Louisville shows up for this playoffs, it could very much be our year. So what about you?
You know, and I'm pulling up some of the info we've gotten from the team recently about, injuries and stuff like that. And usually we only get it for home games. So I'm going back to the Pittsburgh game, and we talked about the guys being injured. We talked about the guys. The only players listed as out against the Pittsburgh was Zach Herivo and Abel Caputo. No one suspended. Questionable was Aaron Guillen, Deion Harris. Aaron Guillen played. We haven't seen Deion Harris. He didn't play in the Pittsburgh or the Louisville game. So, you know, could be a difference maker. But all these guys we went through the year injured, like – I mean, hell, we've got Leo Fernandez back. We've got, you know, the guys are healthy. We've come through this, I'll say relatively unscathed in terms of our position in the league. We managed to get a good spot for hosting. We got at least two home games guaranteed. The coaching changes, everything. You know, the struggles with form and consistency and everything. And like you said, I point this out in our preview with Kaylor that, you know, our record against these other teams, but yeah, it doesn't matter right now. None of it matters because it's not, you know, this is what we did this season. It's what are we going to do in this next game? And then the game after that, this is a team, not only, you know, are they getting healthy and holy cow, a extremely well-rested Leo Fernandez, possibly, playing a huge role in these playoffs. But this is a team that is experienced in this situation. Yeah, we're playing Birmingham again. A lot of these guys have played Birmingham in the opening round. They know what how to get ready, how to prepare, how to approach these games, getting the playoffs. They've hosted this Eastern Conference Final. They've traveled for the Eastern Conference Final. They've won it 2 out of 3 times. They've advanced to the final. This is a team that not only is doing well right now, but they have done this in the past. They have that experience to draw on. And for the newer guys that are here that haven't done it with this team, they are surrounded by people who have. Yep. So, I love our chances going in. Also, anything could happen.
Agreed.
So who knows? Anticipating a second round game at Ao Lang next weekend and getting to do another show again to talk about this and bring some more guests in and do this. It just feels like it's coming together.
Yeah.
And, there's 15 other teams out there that, some of them are going to feel the exact same way. Like,
yep.
There's teams in the Western Conference, and we can look at that and say, well, there's teams we beat and we drew. There's very few that we lost to in that list of their playoffs teams, but they're confident. Who hosts is going to be a big deal, I think. Yep. Overall, we saw, although it didn't help us against Orange County, but that's another story. We don't have to relive that one. It's exciting time of year. A couple weeks ago we were talking about, are we going to be the USL's version of the Rays, beaten up and unable to put it together in the opening round? Feels completely different right now. Completely yep. different.
Your strong players are coming back at the right time. And look, listen to the post-game interviews. Listen to the interviews during the week. They're talking about how this team, it's not in their DNA to roll over. It's not in their DNA to give up or just, not come out and fight and want to make right what they did wrong before. It's just, they talk about the makeup and DNA and just the strength, the mental fortitude to just push and make themselves better every single week. And it shows. It shows. Like I said, how often did we lose 2 games in a row? Not very often. In fact, once maybe or twice maybe. If you exclude the first portion of the season, and also side note here, but that hype video that they put out this week,
about to bring it up.
That hype video had me goosebumps, absolutely.
The drone footage when it transitions into like the overhead shot of Ao Lang, just chill. And the thing that struck me about that is Nicky Law talks about the things we've been talking about. Yes, a lot of injuries. Yes, coaching change. I love how he says we lost a great coach because he knows Neil. He's played under Neil. He's experienced with Neil. He's in this situation because Neil left, but he knows what Neil meant to this team and to these guys. But also he kind of points out, this is all the stuff. That's the stuff for us, for you and me to talk about, Ben. This is not the stuff that they talk about. The stuff they talk about is how do we go win this game anyway?
Yep.
Do we point to these excuses and say, hey, it's great that we even got here to begin with? No. You and me can do that.
Yep.
All they're focused on is, great, we got here. Let's keep going.
Yep. What was the line he said? He's like, are we just going to roll over and give up? Or are we going to stand and fight? I love that because he's absolutely right. To your point, it's for us to debate these little things and celebrate these small little things, like the Leo coming back. Is the team happy to see Leo back? Of course they are. Yeah, of course they're excited to see Leo back. But they've seen him back for a while. They know what's going on inside that locker room. These guys, they believe in one another. They are the ones who all they care about is coming out and proving themselves each and every week. And, they believe in one another. They know that where they falter, the next guy picks up. And it's shown. When one player goes down, another guy steps in. Look at Jordan stepping in for Connor Antley in that back. The Swiss Army knife of this team, for Christ's sake. Jordan Doherty, I don't know how you don't love that guy. He was just an absolute dog. If you made a whole team of Jordans, I'd be in heaven. I think Dan would appreciate that reference.
We all dream of a team of Dohertys, a team of Dohertys, a team of Dohertys.
This team does, it's not their DNA. Could we lose? Absolutely. But do I think we're going to lose because we didn't show up? No, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think you're going to get you know, the 110% effort. I think you're going to get, you know, the guys, I think the guys are going to be playing sharp. I think they're going to create the chances, and it's just going to be, you know, especially against this Birmingham game, it's going to be who's got the ball last. Because Birmingham, even though they're not limping into the playoffs, because they have had some very strong moments, and they've beaten us twice, they're going to have that confidence coming in. I mean, I guarantee that this team isn't thinking about that. All they're thinking about is you're the next one in the way of where we want to be. And, yeah, you know, Birmingham's going to give us an absolute dogfight till the end. But, I mean, I very much believe that we are up for this fight. I mean, and we are set up well for this playoffs.
It's going to be, I mean, it very well could be a dogfight, because all of the other Rowdy's Birmingham playoff games have been like that. Mm-hmm. But honestly, and you know, we'll hear it from Kaler in a few minutes, like, this is not the Birmingham team that we've played twice this season. Like, they, and look, every team has injuries. Every team has adversity. Every team has challenges. They're dealing with a lot right now. And you know, they were one of the top teams in the East for a good chunk of the year. And they ended up in seventh position, and they ended up there for a reason. So it could be a dogfight. It could also be a repeat of last weekend where it's 3-1 at halftime for Tampa Bay. It honestly could.
It really could. I mean, well, my prediction's much closer than that. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, because, I mean, who would have, if you had told me that we're going to come out against Louisville, who I think is one of our, I would say there's three teams, but two teams that are real rivals of ours in this Eastern Conference. I mean, you're never going to come out in Louisville and score in the 27th minute, score the fastest goal in Tampa Reddy's history. I mean, come on. I mean, I wouldn't believe that. I mean, like, are we capable of it? Sure, but I mean, have we shown that?
They needed another Steinbanger-esque goal, and yeah, you know,
and look what happens.
He,
I mean,
did it even better. He did it even better.
I think if you get Lewis Hilton doing what Lewis Hilton does, God, I love that guy, and just such a wonderful human being on top of that. But just, I mean, just such an absolute workhorse for this team. I think if he is peak Lewis Hilton, I mean, Birmingham better watch out, because, I mean, I think he is going to be our biggest threat in this game. I mean,
if we can get peak Lewis Hilton, if we can get Leo Fernandez being Leo Fernandez and Cal and JJ keeping up the form they've been in.
Yeah. It's the lineup we were begging for all season.
Yeah.
And we're getting into the playoffs.
Man,
at home, it's like, I'm so bummed. Like, I mean, look, I'm super excited to go to Vegas and celebrate with Dan. This is going to be awesome. I'm happy to hang with friends and go celebrate this thing with Dan, because it's special, and I feel grateful to be a part of it. But damn, I'm so bummed that I'm going to miss out on this game, because
you guys are going to find a way to watch this. I know you are.
I'm going to try to, for sure. But, I mean, to the point that it's just regular season is fun. I love regular season, because you can't have playoffs without regular season, right? You can't. But, man, playoff soccer, Rowdies at home, it's always electric. And, you know, I don't know what the ticket sales are right now. I know they've got to be good. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I have a feeling that ticket, our Rowdies tickets is working their ass off right now to fill that place. And it's going to be that environment is like, that's what it's all about. You know,
I'm super psyched for this game. I'm excited. All right. We've been teasing about it. We've been talking about it. We actually recorded it before we recorded this, so that we didn't have to make him wait and sit through all of this, us blubbering about the Rowdies. Let's bring in our guest, Kaler Hodges. Let's talk about this game. I'm going to give you guys, we're going to do a little rapid fires with you guys and make some predictions, and then we'll come back and wrap up. All right. We are joined tonight by making a return appearance, the first appearance in the Ben era. We're in our Wilcox era here on the podcast. We're joined by Kaler Hodges from the USL Show, from Hammering Down Podcast, from the hated region of Birmingham, at least for me. I was telling Ben, it took me until Monday. Kaler, you're going to appreciate this, but in a different way than I do. It took me until Monday. It's been one of those weeks lately to remember that Birmingham's in Alabama and that this is the third Saturday in October. Therefore, I literally just described it on Twitter as a fully engorged Alabama hate week between Tennessee and Bama and Rowdies and Legion, I think playing at the same time Saturday night. So full of all kinds of fun energy trying to keep track of all this. But we are breaking down yet again another Rowdies Legion playoff matchup. But this is third time in four seasons, fourth time. I can't keep track. It's Birmingham, and then it's like Memphis or somebody. At least we know that if we can get past Birmingham this time, it'll be Charleston or Indy. It won't be Memphis again. We get a little variety. It's starting to feel like Open Cup here a little bit in the USL Cup playoffs. All right, so I'm going to, even though I am the very biased moderator, I'm going to kind of throw some questions at you guys about the teams, because you guys are both intimately familiar with your teams. I know, Kayla, you probably know more about Tampa Bay than we know about Birmingham, because you guys do all this great stuff on USL show. But first off, this is a new situation now. Somewhat. The Rowdies finished second in Eastern Conference, Birmingham seventh. But Birmingham won both of the head-to-head matchups this season, thanks to the guy who haunts my nightmares in Legion game week, Enzo Martinez. I believe he scored in both matches. Pretty sure he did.
Nico scored in the first one. Enzo definitely scored in the second one. Sounds right.
Because he's Enzo. It's what he does. So, Kaylor, tell us a little bit about how Birmingham's season went, and you know, it felt like you guys were kind of off to a hot start there for a while, and then you know, managed to get back and not fall out of the playoffs, but probably had some struggles in there a little bit. What went on this season overall? What shape are the Legion in heading into these playoffs this year?
Confused. I think that's the best way to describe it. Legion swept the season series. So every single game they won, against both games against Louisville City, both games against Tampa Bay, and three games against Memphis, because they played them in the U.S. Open Cup. All games of people that are above them in the standings. And chances are, if you're sweeping Memphis, Tampa Bay, Lou City, you're probably sitting in the first through third region. And they were in the final few weeks wondering if they were making the playoffs. It was just one of those kinds of years where they got hot at the right time. They made a deep U.S. Open Cup run when a lot of Legion fans would say they were a missed handball away from taking on FC Cincinnati in the semifinals. But at the same time, you had, and I wrote it down somewhere, you had three different streaks of five-plus game winless streaks, and where they are the hottest team alive, or they are as cold as it can possibly get. And I think that's just kind of been the story of Legion this year, is you have the firepower, you have the offensive talent. There's defensive talent too. But is it going to click? Is it all going to go together? And which Legion team are you going to get? The one that can win against an MLS team, or one that, I mean, draws against Las Vegas?
All right, Ben, similar thing to, but almost kind of reverse to what Kayla talked about. And we've talked about this on our show with the Rowdies. The Rowdies are sitting here second place in the Eastern Conference, third place overall in the league based on points. But we lost both games to Pittsburgh, first place in the East. We lost both games to Charleston, finished 4 points behind us. Lost both games to Memphis. So the home playoff teams in the Eastern Conference, we didn't take a point off of them. We swept Louisville. We drew both games with Indy. We lost both games to Birmingham, and we beat Detroit City. If it wasn't for the Miamis, the Tulsas, the Loudons, the Hartfords, and then pretty much the Western Conference, I don't know where we end up at this point. And you know, we had the massive injuries pile up. We had the coaching change. We had the coach being held hostage by the British government at various points of the season. Ben, what's your take right now? What the shape the Rowdies are in heading into the playoffs? We lost both games against Birmingham. Do you see a way that there could be a difference in this weekend's matchup?
Well, I mean, going into the last 2-3 games into the playoffs, I mean, it's very much reminiscent of our season, minus the very early parts where we just were very much trying to figure ourselves out. We are, much like Kaylor said, we are dangerous when we're dangerous, but when we are not and we are off, we are off. And, you know, we have moments where we are very much a quick strike offense. We can break you down fast, get past your back line, and Cal can just absolutely punish you. And thankfully, we've also been helped by tremendous goalkeeping and a relatively stable back line that's had inconsistent moments, but been pretty consistent as far as the starting four. So, I mean, we're an inconsistent team that I think is obviously in the later part of the season showed that we can be more consistent. I think what helped us, especially in the second half of the season, we rarely lost two games back to back. So we would make a mistake, but we would immediately make up for it in the next game. So, and obviously it helps when you're playing against the Detroits, Tulsa, United, Loudons, Hartfords, sure. But I mean, it definitely helped us make up for those mistakes. The problem was we never did it against the top teams. So I have my apprehension as far as going into the playoffs is concerned. However, if the right team shows up, I mean, we've proven we can be dangerous against any back line at any given time. We can score goals. I mean, we have how many players with 14, 15 plus goals? I mean, or more than 10 goals? I mean, we can hit you in many different angles. On top of that, we're getting healthy. We just got Leo Fernandez back. We've got Aaron Guillen back. We have another players that our bench is actually starting to fill up. It gives our offense more tactical options coming off the bench. So it's going to be interesting to see. I Nicky Law is going to have a very tough choice to figure out what the starting 11 is going to be and what the most cohesive unit is going to be to come out against a what can be extremely dangerous Birmingham Legion, who has made us pay twice when we didn't show up to play. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, you've got we've got Cal Jennings second in the Golden Boot behind Albert Dequa with 19 goals, a career high. JJ Williams also with, I believe, 12 goals, a career high. Charlie Dennis knocking in 11, which he's only been playing at the championship level. This is his second season. That is a career high. He's almost equaled his professional goal total combined between last year with Oakland and then the year before with FC Tucson. The Rowdies have scored a bunch of goals. They've scored 60 on the season compared to 44 for Birmingham. When you talk about conceding goals, Rowdies have conceded 39, Birmingham 53. Yet Tampa Bay could not score a goal against Birmingham yet this season in two regular season matchups. Kaylor, how did that happen? And is that a streak you think is going to continue? What are they going to try and do this weekend to shut down the Rowdies' attack?
This is where I'm going to be horribly wrong, and all the listeners are going to be like, see, he's an idiot, which I know. It's not going to continue. It's not. What works so well against Tampa Bay is, weirdly enough, what has been the kryptonite for this team for much of the year, which is the 4-2-3-1. And Legion pulled out the 4-2-3-1. The holding midfield against Tampa Bay worked like a charm. You had Matthew Corcoran, who is a U-17 starter, who's going to be sold for a lot of money, and Anderson Asiadu, who was back there for a while. And those two shut down the middle of the park. And they kind of did what Legion wanted them to do, which was they said, we'll let you have the wings. We will gladly let Antley, we'll gladly let these guys, Lakava go out wide, which I don't think Lakava was back yet by the time you guys played us, but essentially like, we'll let you guys go out wide. We'll let you do it. We could care less, but you're not going to beat us in the middle, which was a really good task. Here's the issue. Matthew Corcoran has been playing a lot because he's getting back from Brazil. He was getting back from qualifiers. He had to play. And so he's been out of the lineup a little bit. Anderson Asiadu, while still on the payroll, is no longer with the club. Our backup CDM, who has been with the club since day one, former MLS Rookie of the Year, Mikey Lopez, been out with injury. So the bad man that you've been talking about, Enzo Martinez, has been playing central defensive mid. Wow. And they've been going with a 4-1-4-1, which I think works best for Birmingham Legion. I think when you look at the roster, the 4-1-4-1 should have been what they've been doing all year long. That said, I think that is the worst kind of system they can go with against this Tampa Bay team. When you're thinking about a Lewis Hilton, when you're thinking about possibly a Leo Fernandez getting a few minutes, when you're thinking about Dennis, your Kyle Jennings, your JJ Williams, they are going to own the middle of the park. And what made Legion so good and defensively sound, they said, fine, you can have the wings, cross it as much as you want. We don't care. You're not going to score through us through the middle. Now they literally don't have the personnel to stop it because part of our center back tandem, Fanwell Kavita, is probably not playing. One of our right backs, left back, right back specialist, Jake Roof, is playing center back right now. Granted, I think he's a class center back. I think he should have been playing center back all year long. That doesn't change the fact that he's not Fanwell Kavita, club captain. This team is weak right now in the midfield, and I hate saying that, but they are. Injuries and other personal issues have decimated this midfield, and that center part of the park is where Tampa Bay, especially lately, has made their living. I just don't see the scoreless streak keeping up.
Yeah, I'm looking over the box scores for the first two games. Cal Jennings played 150 out of 180 minutes. JJ Williams played the full 90 minutes in the second game, but got about 6 minutes as a late sub in the first half, in the first match. Jake LaCava with 60 minutes in the second game, but wasn't with the club in the first one. You know, some of the big goal scorers, Charlie Dennis is out there in both of these games. But everywhere, these guys who have produced against pretty much everybody else, even the big teams that we've lost against, these guys have produced. They have not been able to get it done versus Memphis. I mean, versus Birmingham yet this season.
Hey, of all the teams, of all the teams,
it's places out always somewhere. It's crazy. I've got Tennessee and Alabama on the brain this week. It's just the wrong part of Tennessee. Ben, do you agree with Kale, or do you think that that somehow this voodoo is going to continue? What do you think is going to be the key to the Rowdies getting away from the lack of success they've had against Birmingham this year?
Well, I think he hit the nail right in the head. I mean, right, it's the fact that we have been better in the middle of the field. Honestly, Birmingham is, if they were ever primed for us to come and make our attack known the way we've been able to show lately, I mean, this is the time. I mean, we have been scoring goals not just off the corner, but through the middle of the field. We have been able to pull the defenders out and make space. And if you'll notice, as the season has progressed, that trio up top of Cal, JJ, and Dennis has gotten so good together at moving off the ball and creating space for each other. It's going to create havoc. But let's not sit here and pretend like we don't have our own deficiencies. While I said last time, like, while I love our defense and I do feel it is a strength, it can be a weakness because we do get caught not tracking that extra runner or the extra attacker in the middle of the field. And I noticed with Enzo, and correct me if I'm wrong, he does get up the field. He is still he's still goal dangerous. And if you look what happened to us against Pittsburgh, look at that first goal they scored. They pulled an extra midfielder into the back post. Dequa ended up pulling all the defenders to one side of the goal and left that back post wide open. And that's not the first time that's happened. Clearly, that was good coaching, recognizing weakness, and our defense saying we can be beat. So I think if we can be smart, because we know Connor's going to get up to the field, right? We know Connor's going to hit those lines. We know that as long – I'm 99% sure that Guillen will be starting. Guillen's going to get up the field as well. You're going to have to keep Lewis, and I'm thinking it'll be Jordan as well, deep in back to help protect Kleeman and Lasso, because otherwise we leave ourselves exposed. So I do feel we're going to come out. I think a high-potent offense that we've shown is going to be there, but we just have to be smart and responsible in the way that we do. We have to pick and choose those moments, because if we get pulled up, Birmingham can absolutely 100% burn us. They've proven it, not just against us, but throughout the season, that they can do it. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting mix.
Kaler, I can tell you're wary going into this because we've talked about Rowdies and Birmingham so many times. And yep. the names you say is either not available or possibly aren't playing. I know these are some of your favorite guys on the club. So given who is available and who is likely to play, I know my answer to this question. I think I know what you might say also, but you might have a little bit more insight. Who's the X factor that might make a difference in this game for Birmingham?
I mean, it kind of depends on what you consider X factor, right? Because sometimes there's like X factor is the guy that you don't know about, and sometimes it's the guy in the big moment, right? There's been a couple of guys step up for us this year. Like Deben Wigbo has been a revelation. I love that kid. You know, you have other guys like Preston Tabor, or sorry, Tabor Ateka Preston. Always get those confused. And he's crazy. If you have not watched him, he is ridiculous with the ball at his feet and making off the ball runs. But if we're talking about X factor, it is the 85th minute. It's a 1-1 game. The ball lands at their feet. Who do I want to go to? It's an underrated answer, but it's Prosper Kasim. It is Prosper Kasim. Left foot given to him by God, the right foot, let's not talk about it. And like Prosper he's in the middle of every big moment in Legion history. When you see the first ever goal scored in league in team history, when you see the first home goal scored, when you see the first ever playoff goal scored, the first ever goal scored against the MLS team, first ever US Open Cup goal scored, first ever playoff goal scored. He doesn't score goals in bunches, but when he scores, they all matter. He's never scored a goal that didn't matter. And if it's 85th top of the box, he's over on that right-hand side, it falls to his feet. I think Legion fans are going to kind of preemptively celebrate. And if you're a Tampa Bay fan, you have to kind of hold your breath and pray, because somehow he makes magic happen and it doesn't make sense. He doesn't seem like the guy that should, but he is that X factor guy.
You know what my answer is going to be to that one, because if Enzo Martinez is on the field, that's the guy I'm worried about. But I can see a situation where the Rowdies are so focused on limiting his chances and opportunities that something's left open. I guarantee you, in addition to the film of their two games against Tampa Bay this year, I guarantee you Birmingham's watching the film of probably both Pittsburgh-Tampa Bay games to see how they were able to get in and not even just get in, but how quickly they were able to do this. It just, especially that last game. It's going to take a lot. Ben, I'm going to ask you a similar question, although to me, and I'll throw my answer out here first, to me the X factor is Leo Fernandez. Is he going to start? How much is he going to play? He's gotten some time in the last couple games, and is he ready to go the full 90? Also, do you really mess with this pairing of Jennings and Williams and a Lacava or a Dennis or whoever else you want to put up there, based on how successful those guys have been this year, having career years by the time it's all said and done? Who's someone that maybe Birmingham fans, hopefully not Birmingham players, keep an eye out for that could make the difference for Tampa Bay this weekend?
Well, not going with Leo Fernandez, because I like that choice. He's unproven at this point.
He just came confirmed. Back. Ben hates Leo. Got it.
You heard it here.
I see him. I'm gonna reiterate this to him. I think taking the same approach that Kayla did. If I'm looking at the guy who's not going to necessarily show up on the stat sheet, but it's going to be absolutely imperative, and we move how he moves, it's got to be Lewis Hilton.
Yeah,
he has the line breaking ability. He has the vision. He is the engine that keeps this team moving from side to side and up and down that field. There is nobody else on that field that has an effect the way he does. You won't show up on the stat sheets, but good Lord, that man, if he is on fire, he opens up Charlie Dennis. He opens up JJ Williams. He opens up the wingers. I mean, he is, to me, the most important player right now on that field. And he has come back, since he's come back from his injury, he has consistently looked better and stronger and return to the form that we know him to be in. So he would be the guy that I say that really, if he shows up against a Birmingham Legion team that, while good, has its deficiencies, if he's ready and he's going, I mean, he's the guy who I think he makes this thing happen.
Lewis is, I don't want to jump in with too quickly, Matthew, but yeah, Lewis Hilton is the guy that I circle every single time for Tampa Bay. If he's on the pitch, I pick them to win. Like, it is ridiculous how much better they are. And the thing with him that it gets noted a lot, but not as much as it should. The USL is not filled with a lot of set piece specialists. And by God, he's one. Mm-hmm. He is one. His set pieces are ridiculous. And you mentioned it earlier. This team has not needed to score from set pieces to score like they did earlier on the season. But if it comes down to 92nd minute and it's 1-1 and Lewis Hilton sent over a corner or a free kick from about 30 yards out, I don't feel comfortable. It feels like a position where Tampa Bay easily has the upper hand because Lewis Hilton can drop a ball into a bucket right on a dime, probably to Forrest Lasso or to rip my heart out a little bit more, Freddie Kleeman or J.J. Williams, just to really rub it in of, we used to play for you, and yeah, right. That would hurt. But like, yeah, I mean, he is ridiculous, and he is an ultimate line breaker. If it is time for you to press, if Legion are pressing, Lewis Hilton's going to beat it every time, and he's ridiculous.
His work rate, I would love to know how many miles. I say on average you do about 8 to 9 miles for midfielders, but I got to think that he is there or higher. I mean, he is nonstop moving. Like, I know when they do the beep test at the beginning of the season, he is almost always the guy that wins. And I think that's a testament to his character and just what he does on the field. He is just unbelievable the way that he just absolutely is everywhere and is so smart as far as his positioning.
All right, well, let's get to it here. Let's hear some predictions. Ben, I'm going to make you go first in the hopes of getting Kaylor mad and getting something fun to sign off with here. Ben, what's your prediction for this weekend's game?
Well, I absolutely believe that we get redemption finally. This seems to be our MO. It was our MO last year, the year before. When teams get the best of us in the regular season, we get the best of them in the playoffs. And I think the team is clicking. Leo's back at the right time. I just feel good about it. I'm going to go 2-1, Rowdies.
All right, Kaylor, over to you.
If you look at the USL show, I predicted Birmingham Legion to win, but full transparency, I predicted that. And I said, and I quote, this is so I can feel something. In all reality, I'm taking Tampa Bay 2-1. I really am. I think that Legion gets their goal, but Al Lang is a fortress. Even if Legion went down there and did it earlier, this is a very different Legion team. And I don't think any of the guys want the season to be over, but I don't know. It just feels like it's just been a long one, and it is what it is. I think that this is going to be a fun one. Both, and now going to be three, but both playoff matches have been fun. If you remember, like, they have been drag out knockout fights, and that's been kind of Tampa Bay versus Birmingham since they've all come in. Like, there has not been a true blowout game. It's always been a dirty, ratty fight. I mean, 2021, it took I think between the legs of Alex Crenali to go to the bottom right corner in order for Tampa Bay to win 1-0. I mean, that's the kind of match that this could be. This could be a 1-0 goal scored in the 75th, and it was just a wonder goal. I wouldn't be shocked, but it feels like Tampa Bay, the way that they're clicking, they're going to get multiple. I wouldn't be shocked if Legion get their goal. There's too much firepower to not get one, yeah. But I think Tampa Bay walk away 2-1.
We kind of had this running joke on the show about trying to figure out who the rivals are for the Rowdies, because, you know, they wanted to be, the league wants it to be Miami, and it's just not Miami. You know, then people were like, well, it was Atlanta United 2 because they're the closest, but it obviously was not Atlanta United 2. There's the all in the no quarter derby with Charleston, but just that never really feels like a rivalry, even though the trophy has traded hands a couple times. And we always can say, well, it's Louisville. And to me, it's like you'd say it's Louisville in the regular season based on the results. And we did that last couple times we played them. Like the games have always been very close. And yeah, it's been back-to-back Eastern Conference championship games. But to me, almost the Rowdies playoff rival is Birmingham. Yeah. Because, yeah, it's Louisville in the Eastern Conference final. But you got to get past that first game. And it's never been an easy one in that first game. It's always a little bit of a different turn from the regular season. And I guess Rowdy's fans, that's what we're hoping for this year, too, is a slightly different bit of results than we got the first time around. Well, Kaylor, I appreciate it. I know you have some coloring you have to get to. I don't want to delay you from that. Before you go, let people know where to find you, what you guys are doing, because people need to be listening to, especially to the USL show. That's a blast. I love what you guys do over there. But tell everybody where to find you and what you're up to.
You can find me at Kaylor Hodges. You can either find me there, block me there, whichever one you decide. Hammering Down is my personal podcast, but look, if you recognize me, I'm sorry, but it's at the USL show. We have a lot of fun stuff. We're previewing, breaking down every single matchup of this playoffs, both League One and the championship. Off season, we have a fun series planned of the history of the USL, basically talking about every single season in USL, USL Pro, USL Championship, League One, etc. It's a big project that we're excited about that we want to really get underway. So this is a bit of me floating it out there. So I'm going to have to do it. Every Thursday, which for us recording, this would be today for us recording and probably tomorrow when this, or Friday when this goes up, or yesterday, but we are on Soccer Down Here every Thursday for the playoffs at 10 a.m. Live on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, the whole nine yards, where, yeah, you can find us and we're talking about the USL playoffs. The guys at Soccer Down Here, they were the color commentators of ATL2, aforementioned major rival of the Rowdies. And, you know, so they know about the USL. They know the USL and they're a blast to talk to. So if you want to hear a little extra USL goodness, I mean, it'll probably be me talking, so maybe not that good, but it's fine.
All right, Kaylor, thanks again. And I think I say this every time. I hope you have a good time this weekend, but not too good of a time. Honestly, I hope I like you a lot, but I hope you have a terrible time this Saturday between all the games going on.
Remind me to tag you in the video every time I see it this week.
Yeah. All right. Kaylor, thanks for joining us. We'll have to have you on again sometime. Maybe sometime when it's not a Legion Rowdies game and we can talk about stuff without the threat of hope you have a terrible weekend hanging up. All right. Cool. Thank you, Kaylor, for doing that. It's that time of year again. We got to bring in Kaylor. Go listen to the USL show. Go follow him online. He's a great dude, even if he's from Alabama and supports horrible soccer and football teams. Balls. All right, Ben. So I didn't get to make a prediction in there. I had you guys make a prediction. I didn't make a prediction.
What you got, buddy?
Good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling 3-1.
I think 3-1. Yeah, I love it.
3-1, and I know playoff stats are different from regular season stats. Cal Jennings gets a goal. I'm calling it a 20 goal season. I'm doing it right there. The guy's earned it, man. He is busted his ass all year. So 3-1, and we will be back next week, win or lose, to talk about the game. Hopefully win, so we can talk about another upcoming game with hopefully another guest. And I'm going to do my best to get this out there on Thursday, because we may have a little something extra to put out there before the game kicks off on Saturday. So give us a listen. Go listen to the RBLR guys. I know they're putting together some great stuff, too. There's all kinds of Rowdy stuff out there for you guys. Happy to, share the love, share the assets around the Bay Area. Yeah. Ben, it's been a lot of fun. I got to go do some editing. I rarely have to do editing on these, but I got to do some editing on this one to make this the way we want it to be. Have fun out in Vegas. Tell Koepke I love him. I guess say hi to Dan too. Apparently we don't podcast doesn't even follow him anymore. So whatever. Try not to get yourself locked out of the hotel room while you guys are watching Rowdies in Vegas on the roof of Caesar's Palace.
I promise. And,
enjoy the hangover.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I will definitely.
All right, Ben. I'll talk to you next week. Have a great time. Come on, you Rowdies.
Come on, you Rowdies.
3-1.
The Rowdies run here, the Rowdies run there, they kick the ball around. The Rowdies run here, the Rowdies